Can we turn, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17? And we will unite our hearts briefly in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for the opportunity of gathering round Thy Word again. We thank Thee for the power in the Word of God. Thank Thee that the hammer breaks the rock in pieces. Our God, we pray that Thou wouldst take the stoniness of our hearts, the rockiness, the coldness, as when our souls, Lord, break it with the hammer of the precious Word of God. Our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst take those hearts of stone and convert them into hearts of flesh that are moldable in Thy hands. Come, our God, and take hold and use us now, we pray. For in Jesus' precious name, I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text this morning is verse 21 of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. It says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." The scene before us here in Matthew chapter 17 is one that met the Lord Jesus when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. A man who had a great problem came to the Lord Jesus. He had a son who was possessed with a demon, sore vexed, and oftentimes the child would be thrown into the fire and often into the water, and he was in danger of his life, and the poor man was beside himself. He didn't know what to do. Even as he was presenting his case for the Lord, we read that the child was in the dust, groveling in the dust, and his fingers had become like claws, and the evil spirit seemed to be mocking the desperate situation of the parent. And you can imagine the desperation in this man's voice as he comes and pleads with the Lord that he might do something. Now before this, when the Lord had been up in the Mount of Transfiguration, this man had brought his son to these disciples. And the disciples, some of them had remained at the bottom of the mountain. Peter and James and John had been brought up into the mountain. But the other nine were down at the bottom of the mountain. And this man had brought his son to these disciples. And he said to them, "This is my problem. Can you do anything?" And the disciples had tried to cast out the devil, but they couldn't. They were defeated. Now we remember that these disciples had already cast out demons before. It wasn't as if it had been something that they'd never done before. But on this occasion, they are not able. They're defeated. And in Mark 6 and 13, we read these words, "And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." And we read these disciples before it cast out the devils, but this time they are utterly defeated. But now this man comes and presents his demonized son to the Lord himself. And verse 18 tells us what happened. "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him." And it says, "And the child was cured from that very hour." So while it defeated the disciples, our Lord Jesus was able to do. We see the power and the might in the Lord Jesus. But after the Lord had delivered this man or this son, we read that the disciples began to ask the question. They said to the Lord, "Why could we not cast him out?" They said, "Well, we have cast out other demons. We've cast out devils before. And we were defeated here. The Lord was able to do it. Lord, why could we not do it? Why could we not cast this devil out?" And the reply of the Lord is what I want you to see and what I want to focus upon in verses 20 and 21 of this chapter. The Lord said, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And the Lord said, this is the reason you couldn't do it. Because of your unbelief. Because you didn't come in prayer and fasting. Now that is something that is significant for us today, because when we look at the state of Christendom, and when we look at our churches, and when we look at ourselves, there is that lack of power. There is that lack of strength. It seems as if we can't cast out the things
that are round about us, it seems as if in some way we can't reach our community. We can't reach our families. We can't reach our friends with the gospel. And we ask ourselves why we can't. Why is there this seeming failure? Why is there this powerlessness? Well, this portion of Scripture, I think, really is a parable to us. Because the Lord teaches His disciples both why they could not cast these demons out and how they could go about it. And so today I want us to think about these disciples. I want us to look at this story in that light. And I want us to see the disciples at this time. And I want us to see what the Lord teaches them. Let's focus upon these disciples and see how the Lord shows them how they can have success again in this matter of driving out the demons of that day. And we can drive out the difficulties of this day and generation in which we live. There are a number of things about the disciples that I want you to see here. The first thing I want you to see is the frustration they experienced. They said to the Lord, notice the words of the man in verse 16 and 17. He said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and often in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." They could not cure him. There were these disciples that remained at the foot of the mountain, and they met this despondent man, this man who really wanted something done, this man who was pleading for help, this man who needed to have his son delivered. And what happens is that they are failing. They're failing. But notice some things about this failure. Notice the circumstances of the failure. Look at the men who failed. Were they charlatans? Were they false prophets? No, they were the Lord's true disciples. The Lord had chosen these disciples. These nine were the Lord's among the Lord's closest companions. They weren't frauds. They weren't false prophets. They were the Lord's people. And here were they confronted with this boy, and they couldn't cast out, they couldn't heal the spirit of the unclean spirit. They couldn't drive out that unclean spirit that was within them. And the Pharisees were watching. And the scribes and the Pharisees were there. And no doubt they were waiting to mock these disciples. No doubt they were waiting to say, "Oh, the Lord doesn't seem to have power anymore. The Lord doesn't have all power, for here's a failure." The scribes and the Pharisees were there, but these were true disciples. More than that, these true disciples, had the power to cast out demons before. For that is a power that the Lord had given to His disciples. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." And they'd been able to cast out the devils before. They had done it before. They had done it on a number of occasions before. And you can imagine them with confidence now approaching this man. He comes with his child, and they approach the child with confidence. After all, they'd done this before. After all, they had managed this. And here they are. Faith with failure. They did the same thing as they'd done before, but they're faced with failure. But isn't that a picture of the church as we say it? Faced with failure. We're seeking to do the same things as we did before. We're seeking to cast out the demons of our community, if we were to put it like that. We need to see the blessings of days gone by. We have had blessings in days gone by. And this congregation, some of you here today, can think of blessings in days gone by. We read about revival. And the fact that God is able to break in and revival blessing. We need the revival blessing of God today. It's not as if God has not done these things in days gone by. It's not as if God's people have not experienced this in days gone by. We have mercy drops here and there. But oh, for the showers we plead. Are we not looking for the showers of God's blessing? Are we content to remain with strengthlessness? Are we content to linger in that place of failure and failing? These disciples had done this before. And God has blessed before. God has blessed in this area before. God has blessed in this congregation before. And it's not as if we had not experienced it before, for we have. And then these disciples were working on the same lines as before. They said the same words, no doubt. They went through the same actions as they did on other occasions when they had cast out demons. But there was no success. And you remember, you think of the scribes and the Pharisees here mocking them. They were saying, here are people that don't have all the power. They're charlatans. They don't have the power. They were saying the Lord has no power. And that was a sad thing, I'm sure, because the failure of these disciples was reflecting upon the Lord Himself. But you know, today there are many that will mock us. There are many that will say that we have no power, that the church is gone. We live in a post-Christian age. Maybe you're here mocking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're here and you mock the feelings even of God's people. But we have to admit that in many ways there is a failure. In many ways we're not reaching the community. In many ways our words are falling on deaf ears. And we say to ourselves, why does it happen? Why does the Lord allow such a thing? Why does the Lord allow His servants to be beaten at all? Why did the Lord allow these servants to be beaten? Well, the chief reason here was because of the fault of these disciples that got away from God. Because the Lord had to rebuke them for their lack of faith. And it would seem that the disciples had fallen away from what they were and what they ought to have been. And it doesn't matter how skillful they were and what words they used. And it didn't matter about how many times they had done the same thing in the past. Their present was a present of failure. And you know, he could be like Samson in the book of Judges. And it says of Samson that he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And it says, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. We might be doing things as we always did. The outward may be no different. The words may be the same. The Bible we use is the same. But let us examine ourselves. Are we failing? Are we failing? But you know why the Lord sends along these difficulties sometimes? To get us out of the rut. To get us to face up to the fact that we're failing. You see, sometimes you can get into a little rut and you can go on the way that you're always doing and you can do things in a professional way. One of the things that I always am afraid of is that I could become a professional minister and I could preach in a professional way. And I could go around and speak to people in a professional way. And there's no heart. There's no reality. We can pray in a professional way. We can have the right words and the right phrases. In the same way as we always pray. And we can know where to put in the phrase. And we can know where to quote the little verse. But is it a rut that we've got ourselves into? Is it just going through the motions? Is it just doing the outward? No, we need to do it in the power of the Spirit of God. Never let us get into the rut. But the Lord sometimes sends along the difficulties. And this was a particularly difficult situation. This was a particularly difficult demon. And the Lord was just showing His disciples, you are failing. You are failing. You've got to face up to this. And maybe the Lord is bringing to us to a point today where we've got to face up to this. Here was this demon and the boy was writhing on the ground and he was foaming at the mouth and he was raging and the very demon was mocking the disciples. The very demon was laughing at them. And they were frustrated there as they saw this and their failure. And they were led to ask the question, why could we not? Why could we not? And the Lord sometimes sends along the difficulties just to waken us up. But then the Lord sent along the difficulty for another reason. So that they could see that the Master was able to do something for them. They were not able, but the Lord was. And that's a wonderful thing. They could not do anything, but the Lord could. And in spite of our failures and our faults, thank God we have a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We might go on in a mechanical fashion, but thank God we have a God who is in heaven who understands and knows our condition, and he's calling us back to himself, calling us into the place where we get ourselves right with him. Are we feeling frustrated today? Are we feeling frustrated with our failure? Well, God is calling us back to get into that right relationship with himself. We see the frustration they experienced. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the question they asked. Look at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" That was a good question. It was a pertinent question. That's the question that they needed to ask. There was something wrong, but they asked the question. And as people of God today, we need to ask the question, why? Why? And I want you to see that in asking this question, the disciples were asking a personal question. Why could not we cast him out? The fault wasn't the Lord's. They knew that. The fault wasn't the Lord's. It was their fault. Why could not we? They could see the power of God. They saw the power of the Lord. Jesus in delivering this man from the demon. But they said, why could not we? Now in asking that question, child of God, every one of us have to be open for humiliation. We've got to be open to the fact that the Lord points the finger at you and me and said, it's you. It's you. Why could not we cast them out? We have to face the shame. We have to face the humiliation. We have to face the fact that we are not what we should be. And in all probability, child of God, whatever it is not a great matter. At least maybe you think it's not a great matter. That thing that's holding back the blessing. That thing that's hindering you. It mightn't be a great matter. It mightn't be something that seems that is big, as it were. But what we need to do is intently shine the bright light of God's precious word upon our heart and say, Lord, why? Are you prepared to say to the Lord today, why? Are you prepared to say, Lord, show me why? Show me why? And should not the church as a whole say why? Why is it that we fail? Why is it that things are not taking, or we're not making an effect the way that we should? And you look around you today and we think of society and we think of the breakdown that there is in morals all around us and the forces of anarchy and the forces of violence that are placed in high places. And we say as a church as a whole, as God's people, why can we not cast that out? We look at the media. We look at newspapers. They go further and further down into the gutter. And what were once sort of respectable magazines and respectable papers, now they go down into the gutter and they're descending into pornography. Just to make sales. We say, why can we not cast that out? Why can we not do something about that? The people in the days gone by listen to the church, and that's why we have laws to regulate Sunday. We had laws in the past to regulate against immorality and sin. That's why we had these things, because they were listening to the Word of God. But they're not listening now. Why? They're proposing marriages of homosexuals today, sodomites. The football authorities, as we heard earlier on in the meeting, are meeting on Wednesday, and they're proposing to have Sunday soccer. The government, as we also saw earlier on, are proposing to extend the licensing hours. And in spite of the fact that they see that drunkenness and taking of alcohol is bringing bad effects in society, they're still going to liberalize the licensing hours. Why can we not cast that out? Why is it that they're not listening to us? Why is it that the church has so little power? Are we not going to ask the question, why? Perhaps we look at the sphere of the family. Maybe there's a wayward son, a wayward daughter. It's not long since you held them on your knee. But perhaps now there are evils that they're involved in and things that they're involved in. And your family, maybe some of them have strayed. We ask ourselves the question, why can we not cast that out? Mother or father, you have a responsibility for your child's character, the way your child is brought up. And should we not pray with all our hearts that our children be brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? So we need to ask the question. We see the question they ask. It's a hard question. It's going to be a humbling question. But we need to ask it. Why could we not cast this out? So we see the frustration they experienced and the question they asked. There's one more thing I want you to see. The solution they were given. Look at what the Lord says in verse 20. He said, they asked and said, why could not we cast them out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible. Now, notice that the Lord here did not say that the reason they couldn't cast this demon out was because he was a particularly strong demon. He was. This demon here, it says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He was a particularly strong type of demon. But that's not the reason they failed. No. He says, first of all, because of your unbelief. This was a strong demon with fury about him, and he cast the boy into the ground, and he cast the boy into the fire and into the water and left the boy in an awful state. But that wasn't the reason the disciples failed. They didn't believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do we believe God today? Do we believe in his power? Do we believe in his sovereignty? Do we believe that he's able to shake this 21st century age in which we live? Do we believe that? Do we believe in God? As we come to the place of prayer today, do we come in faith? Do we know that we can change things? Do we realize the great power that we hold in our hands as we come into the presence of the Lord? Unbelief hinders the Lord. We think of that day when our Savior went into his own country, and it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Is that the reason? Is that the reason why our community suffers from not many mighty works? Because of our unbelief. We need to believe in God. Oh, may God help our unbelief today. That's the first prayer that we need to pray. But he says here that if we do believe, he says that nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Nothing. We see the mountains of Romanism around us. We see so many people caught up in their secularism and their materialism. But it's not impossible with God that he can reach them. You look at your family and the hardness of their heart, but it's not impossible that God can reach them. There's some of you here today and you're hard-hearted against the gospel, but it's not impossible that God can reach you. Nothing shall be impossible. The Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence, into yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we have a mighty power. We have a mighty resource. If only we have the faith to use it. But then there's something else that the Savior said to the disciples. Not only did they lack faith, but it says that they needed to fast. Look at verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And there are difficulties that we face in the work. And the disciples here were working on the child the way that they always had. They prayed, I'm sure. They sought the Lord, I'm sure. They asked God to deliver this child from the demons. But their prayer availed nothing. The Lord said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, what is fasting about? Now, the Lord in many circumstances didn't emphasize fasting. The scribes and Pharisees were into fasting, into a great degree, and they did it for show. And the Lord said, when you fast, enter into the closet. He said, don't really do it as an outward show. But he said, as he came here to this place, and he spoke about this demon, he said, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. And he does emphasize fasting here because of the difficulty. Why did he emphasize fasting? Because fasting heightens our perception. You know, you don't come when you fast and you're not sleepy. You're not going to be sleepy when you come when you're fasting. Now, the old devil will come and try to overcome you with sleep. But when you fast, it heightens your perception, it heightens your thinking. You're not just going through the same old phrases when you're fasting, because it heightens your, you're more alert, you're more vigilant when you're fasting. And the Lord, as it were, was saying to these people, you need to come with special alertness. You need to come with special diligence. You need to come with the Lord with a heightened perception in order to see this driven out. And that's why we are having our day of prayer and fasting here today. Because we need to come with special alertness, with special diligence. We need to come really considering what it is that the Lord wants us to do. And we really need to pray with all our hearts. And it's only by that means that we'll dent the devil's power. We want to bind the strong man and spoil his goods. We need God to come in revival. We need God to take hold of our land. We need God to take hold of our families. We need God to take hold of those of you here today who are not saved. We need to come with all our hearts and seek the face of God. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So I'm calling every child of God today to leave aside the time to come, to pray, to fast, to seek God. That we might see these things driven out. That we might confess to God our Savior. That we might face up to that and see God step in mighty power in this day in which we live. We need God to work. Don't you want to see God working? Don't you want to see days of blessing? Days of the right hand of God. Don't you want to see that? The child of God, I'm challenging today. Maybe you haven't thought about coming to our day of prayer and fasting. But maybe God is speaking to you now. Will you come and join with us? Maybe you hadn't thought too much about what we're going to do today. But you're thinking now. Will you come with heightened perception? Will you come with new thoughts in your heart? Come and seek the Lord with all your heart. And dear unsaved person, we're going to pray for you this afternoon. We're going to pray that God will break the shackles, break the blindness, break what it is that's holding you back, and that you might be saved. We want to see you saved. We cannot leave you lost alone. We want you over there. We're going to pray for you. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. May God may help us to come to Him and see the demons. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we do thank Thee for Thy word today. We bless Thee that Thy word is truth. Our God, we are instructed today to come in prayer and fasting. We're not going to do it in an ostentatious fashion, but O God, we come just to seek Thy face. O Lord, burden our hearts today. Help us in the time of prayer. Help us to seek Thee with all of our hearts, all our souls and minds and strength. Bless us now. Bless those that must go. Remain behind with those that remain behind. And our God, we pray that Thy grace might be sufficient for us. But in Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen.